And I would like to apologize to Jorge because it's obvious the person I should have been mocking is Jesse after that performance in Radio Tinder.
Yes, so, I agree. Radio Tinder,
Jorge,
over the board.
I'll blame Jesse for anything that goes wrong, at least for the last hour of the show.
Yeah, apology accepted. I'll take that.
Apology
don't
accepted.
Be picking on Jorge. By the way, Lindsay will be back tomorrow, but don't be picking on Jorge. He's the guy holding all this stuff. Hey, next week, Jorge, Monday. I'm going to see you in studio Monday.
Oh, boy. Okay.
We're allowed to come back. Awesome. What do you mean, oh, boy?
Yeah, he's don't not forget your headphones, excited about that. Don't you are the headphones. Only one.
I'm incredibly excited about that. I get to go
well,
back
you know
to the
why?
Studio.
You're needy. And now Jorge has to, like, wait on you.
Wait a minute. No, it's the opposite. Jorge needs help, and now I can help.
Jorge, what say you?
Remember, okay, I don't know, Mace. Well, we have to figure out a system. Let's just go. Let's see what
because
happens.
Because Mason's going to ask you for a bunch of crap now, isn't he?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, sound.
Wait a minute,
put
a bunch
of sound.
Crap now.
Right, but now he's got his own self-contained bubble that he can control it. He knows where everything is. He doesn't get any unexpected surprises. He knows exactly where how much time he has to get stuff ready. You're just going to show up and demand things on the spot. Right, Jorge?
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. You give me that soundboard page, and I will work some magic for you there, Jorge. Oh,
all right, let's see if you can use the talkback, because you were running to the door to try to tell me something the other day.
You had no talkback the last time. There was no talkback.
Well,
that's not
I don't think that's fixed
either.
Yeah, I mean, what, do you think it got fixed miraculously overnight? An engineer hasn't set foot in that building in 18 months.
Oh, God, I wish
that
wasn't
true. It's funny seeing Mason, like, waving his arms through the window here, right. Glass, and then coming around the door to tell me something.
Can I tell the story? Yeah, I guess I can.
Yeah, okay, good, yeah. And once you say, can I tell this story, you have to tell the story.
So there were at least three occasions while Michael and I were doing Laker games, and Jesse knows this because he was in the middle of it, where the TV we were calling the games on...
Oh, that was terrible.
...would miraculously change pictures to, like, an overhead shot.
Oh.
And I'm frantically waving my arms, or it would change to, like, a different game, and I'm looking at the Spectrum Sportsnet feed over in the corner, which is, like, 30 seconds behind what I'm actually describing. And we pretty much faked it until we got away with it. But, man, that's Jesse, that's when I realized anything can happen in this pandemic. And my fear is that Mason's going to realize that on Monday.
We'll see, Mace. We'll see.
It's going to be fantastic.
It will.
Hey, can I ask you, what happened to National Singing Telegram Day? Somebody wanted to propose, and, John, you backed off of that. Jesse, you said you wanted to do it
tomorrow.
Well,
what happened is we have no details. Did we get any details on the proposal?
No, we're working on it now. Okay. It's not even 3. It's 2:59. Come on.
Dude's got to write a song.
Well, no, but if we want to make it, like, meaningful for something like that, it should be good. We need some deets about the girl.
Yeah, we need deets.
All right, so
maybe
we
do this tomorrow. I hope Lindsay's humored by it.
Well, who cares? We'll just steamroll her if she's not.
Nice, let's steamroll. I heard everybody laughing.
No, I mean, it's a proposal. We're fans of love. Just
yes.
Because Lindsay says she'll never get married ever.
I'm pro-love.
Yeah, you and I believe in everlasting love. We will make this happen.
Okay, so I wanted to get this in. Before we get to the Rams, I wanted to get this in there. Do you know where the expression straight-laced comes from?
Oh, God, now I have to write this on the list, even before you tell me.
Do you know where the expression straight-laced comes from?
No, I do not.
Anybody? Jorge? Jesse?
No.
This is kind of an easy
idea.
One.
I would imagine that it has something to do with, like, a woman's clothing that doesn't have any real imagination to it. Like, it's very basic, and the lining or the lace is very straight and not fancy.
You're close.
That would be my guess.
Ladies wore corsets, which would lace up in the front. And a proper and dignified woman, as in straight-laced, wore a tightly tied corset,
like what's her name in
Titanic.
Kate Winslet.
Yeah, like poor Kate Winslet, her mom jamming her into that. So that's where the expression straight laced comes from. So I want to tell one more story. So
I gotta put this on the list.
Okay, so I've developed a little repartee with the barista at Starbucks, and her name is Wendy, and I see her every morning because I go buy a reduced fat turkey bacon cheddar sandwich.
With a tooth.
With a tooth sometimes, yeah. Occasionally, the tooth is optional. So I ordered from her today a Venti Caramel Crunch Frappe. All right, Frappe, Frappe. And it includes, and I wrote it all out and made her do it, a banana, extra caramel drizzle, extra whip, 7 pumps of caramel sauce, extra caramel crunch, 1 pump of honey blend, and Frappuccino chips into a Venti Caramel Crunch Frappe. Now, this is an actual drink that has been out there and has gone viral. And I thought, wouldn't it be funny if I could do this to Wendy and make her jump through hoops? So I did it this morning, and you know what? It is a friggin' delicious drink. But let's face it, coffee is dessert. The way they make it at Starbucks now with all the syrups and all that stuff, it's basically eating dessert. When I used to work with Jim Lampley on Fox, and we used to do the Sunday show, I would always show up with one of those gigantic caramel, whatever, venti
right.
Starbucks drinks. And he would say, you know, Mace, you're just drinking a milkshake. And for all intents and purposes, it is. It's basically a milkshake. But I strongly recommend the Venti Caramel Crunch Frappe. It is fantastic. So let's get to the Rams. Rams open training camp today. And by the way, a little bit later on, Cap and Clinton Yates are going to be on after us live from training camp. And they will do the SLK show from there. So you'll hear from Sean McVay and Aaron Donald and Matt Stafford and all those guys. So Andrew Whitworth, who is the veteran of the team, I think he's probably the oldest person on the team.
He has to be. He's 37 or 38.
Yeah, he's our veteran left tackle. And, of course, expectations are incredibly high for Matthew Stafford. So here he is on his first impression of Matthew Stafford.
It's been great. Yeah, I mean, being around staff and just kind of getting a chance to be around Matthew and his family and realizing, you know, what a family guy and just what a good dude he is has been cool to see. And I always had a lot of respect for him across the league just from watching him play. And we have some mutual friends, you know, before we ever really got a chance to spend a lot of time together. One of his college teammates is a very, very close friend of mine and played with me in Cincinnati for a long time. So I've known a lot about him, but just to get to see him in person and be around him and his family is really special. And, you know, just you can tell he's one of those guys that does it the right way and is a great representation of this league.
And here he is on how Stafford will affect him and the rest of the team.
You know, I look at it like just like when John Sullivan was here and Roger Saffold and other veterans in the league, there's just always this hard to explain, just an understanding and appreciation you have for other veterans in the league and the time they've put in. And so I think with Matthew, it's really quick to pick that up. You've both seen a lot of things. You can kind of discuss things that maybe, you know, other young players may understand the game, but they haven't experienced or they haven't been through. And so I think for him and I, it's pretty easy to pick up on different things and different situations that we've both been through and experienced.
So over-under numbers for Matthew Stafford. Now, I'll tell you, last year the Lions were 5-11. He threw for 4,084 yards and 26 touchdowns. Okay, so here are the over-under numbers for Matthew Stafford for this year. He is, in Vegas, you can make this bet. In Vegas, you can make this bet right now. Matthew Stafford, total passing yards this year, 4,550 yards. Now, to put that into perspective, last year he threw for 4,084, and back in 2011, 10 years ago, he threw for 5,000. John, do you like over or under 4,550 yards passing for Matthew Stafford?
Over, because Cam Akers got hurt. They're not going to have the running game we thought that they were going to have. I think Sean McVay combined with Matthew Stafford is going to throw a lot. The only question really with him is, can he stay healthy? But if he stays healthy, I think he goes north of 4,500. What do you think?
I think he goes north of 4,500. I think you put Matthew Stafford together with a coach who's gone to the Super Bowl, a coach that is an offensive genius, a wunderkind. Is that a word?
Yeah.
Wunderkind. He's actually, I think they are going to throw the ball a lot. I agree with you. No Cam Akers. Darrell Henderson. We'll see if they bring anybody in. But they are going to have to throw the
Henderson.
Football. What's that?
I think they might throw it to Darrell Henderson.
Yeah, they might. You're right.
I just think they're going to pass a lot.
Okay, Matthew Stafford, total TD passes this coming season, 26.5. And I'll put it in perspective. Last year he threw for 26, so almost right at that number. 10 years ago, he threw for 41 touchdowns. Over under 26 and a half touchdown passes for Matt Stafford.
Well, especially with 17 games, I think that's an easy over.
Actually, you know, I hadn't thought of that, but you're right. We're going to have to get rid of the, get ready for that, right? Because 10 and 6 becomes 10 and 7 or 11 and 6. And yeah. I mean, the 17 game thing is going to be really fascinating, but you're
now,
right.
Assuming that the game at the end of the year is going to mean something. You know, if not, Sean McVay has already shown he'll.
Oh, we'll have won the division by then, John. We'll have
won
the division.
No way. Seattle and San Francisco are both really good.
No, we'll have won the division. I'm telling you, I think the Rams. I think the Rams are Super Bowl bound. I think we are going to the Super Bowl this year, and I think Matthew Stafford is going to have the year of his career, the one that erases all of the losing in Detroit. I think Matthew Stafford finds a way to get this team to the Super Bowl. I'm absolutely confident in Sean McVay.
By the way, I have more confidence in the over 26 than I do over the 4,500. I think 26 is easy.
Yeah, he threw for 26 last year, and now there's an extra game.
And didn't he miss four games? How many games did he play in last year?
I thought he played all of them.
All right, I'll look it up.
2 years ago, I think he played 8. But I'm working off the top of my head there, okay, as I often try to do. But I'm pretty sure last year was a full season for him. Do you have it?
All 16 games.
There you
okay.
go.
Yeah. He's on a better team now. I think 26 is easy.
And listen to his game totals, by the way. Starting in 2011, 16, 16, 16, 16, 16, 16, 16, 16, 8, 16.
Well, the 8 was a back injury, though. So you worry about that a little.
Right, that was the 2019 season where he went only started
games. Part of the, as you know, you talk about this a lot, part of the question is the offensive line, can they protect him from getting killed? So hopefully the offensive line is solidified, and then, you know, that way you can protect him.
Yeah, so here's something interesting, I think. So a couple of years ago, the Clippers hired the excellent Sports Illustrated writer, who listened to us for years and years.
Yeah, Lee Jenkins grew up in San Diego listening to Mason in Ireland as a Ute.
We were his great inspiration, I'm told.
I think that's probably a reach, but he would probably roll with it.
You probably remember him as the guy who wrote the big LeBron James story for SI when he announced he was leaving Cleveland and going to Miami. Yeah, fantastic guy. Now, I got no idea what the hell he does at the Clippers. Does anybody know? He's a writer. What the hell does he do at the Clippers?
I'm not sure, but that is a good ramp up to this Rams story.
Yes, because the Rams have hired their own version of Lee Jenkins. This guy is named, is it David Benoit?
I think his name is Andy.
Andy. It's either Benoit
I think
or
it's
Benoit.
Andy Benoit.
Andy,
yeah.
Andy Benoit. Okay, I was going with the French pronunciation. So they've hired Andy Benoit, and he is going to be in this role. But I've got no idea what this role even is.
It's a good question. We'll have to ask McVay. My first reaction when I read this story, that the Rams had hired someone from the media to work in their front office.
And by the way, he's worked for Sports Illustrated, the New York Times, and CBS Sports. He's hired an assistant to Rams head coach Sean McVay, Special Projects.
Right. The minute I saw this story, the very first thing that popped into my head is, man, is Mason going to be jealous?
Oh, so pissed off.
Yeah. That whatever this is.
I can't believe Demoff gave this job to Andy Benoit instead of Steve Mason.
It sounds like Sean McVay did it and then probably had to clear it through Kevin and Les Snead.
But what exactly is a writer for Sports Illustrated, New York Times, CBS Sports going to do football-wise? I mean, is he shaping the message? Is he writing stories? What is he writing stories for the program? What is he doing?
It's a great question. And do you think they'd let him come on the radio? Probably not. We could probably ask McVay about him. I wonder if Andy would come on. Well, especially since you just called him by the wrong name. And
well, I want to know if it's Benoit or Benoit.
And you called him David.
David, right. But I was all over his name.
It's a great question. I just figured that if anybody from the media was going to work for the Rams, you would think it should be you.
Oh, God. Demoff.
What would be the first thing you would do if you were in that role?
That role?
Yeah, that.
We don't know what the role is, but if you had the ear of Sean McVay and Les Snead, what's the first thing you would tell him?
That's a good question. I would tell them that we need to win. That okay. It's all about winning.
That's very broad, but a 4-year-old could tell them that.
Come on, man.
I don't even know what the rule. How do I know what the rule is? My idea is when I retire.
You're in the West Wing. You're on the presidential staff, so you have the ear of the decision makers. And this is the first thing I would tell them. Guys, we have a brand new state-of-the-art, greatest stadium ever built. The Super Bowl is here this year. We have to go for it right now. Cam Akers is out for the year. I'm bringing in Adrian Peterson so you guys can meet him and work him out.
You're a writer from Sports Illustrated.
Not anymore. I'm a special projects assistant to Sean McVay. Coach, Adrian Peterson's going to be here at 2 o'clock tomorrow. Let's work him out. If you don't want him, I'll be the one to drive him back to the airport. But let's take a look at him.
Wow. So I don't think that's that guy's job. I think he's about narrative and story and all that kind of stuff.
Narrative for who?
You think Lee Jenkins is signing guys with the Clippers?
I think he's in the room.
You think Lee Jenkins is in the room when they decide
on players?
Him
in, I think they brought him in to address their culture.
Ah, you don't like culture.
Correct.
You don't believe in culture.
Well, except that the Clippers have a culture of losing. So I think they were looking for anybody
So you're blaming Lee Jenkins?
No. Ever since
it's
Lee Jenkins
job
got
to establish the culture,
ever since
culture
Lee Jenkins
losing.
Got there, they've been in the playoffs every year.
Yeah, I don't
before
know
before he got there,
been,
they were never in the playoffs.
I'm gonna call Demoff and find out what the hell this guy's doing, and then find out if I can get that job instead.
Yeah,
when this guy flames out, I want to do it.
I think it's too late.
All right, coming up next for you, Tom Brady says he shops at Target. And he says something interesting about over-delivering for fans. That's coming up next for you.
Also, the Dodger lineup's out for the big game tonight. We can get that to you.
Okay, we'll get that too. Okay.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Okay, so, you know, there's one of us every day, somebody's always trying to get fired.
Yes, who is it now?
Today it's me. Okay. There is a guy named JLR, a.k.a. Flamingo.
Okay.
And Jorge, he says that I should be fired because I constantly make fun of you and mock and humiliate you on the air.
What?
And because I think because I have money and work for the Lakers that I can get away with it.
Ah, oh, stop it, man.
I need to be taught a lesson and get fired. And he has tagged he wants to give the job to Joey Ramirez, who's very good. Joey works for the Lakers, or to the Lakers reporter Mike Trudell.
Okay.
And he has tagged the Lakers and Jeannie Buss, and he says because I make fun and belittle the culture of what Los Angeles is a majority of and is a mostly Hispanic community, and I need to do community service at minority neighborhoods. Jorge, your response?
Nah, man, you got to calm down. It's all fun and games. John is with the people, man of the people, and he's cool, man.
He's man of the rich people.
Yeah. Flamingo, you know that Jorge and Jesse and I work together all the time.
All the
and
time.
We make fun of everybody on this show.
Yes.
So to quote the great Dan Le Batard, I would say you don't get the show.
Yeah, not getting it.
But
not getting
you,
it.
But thank you for listening.
Gracias.
So,
appreciate you.
Muchas gracias.
So Tom Brady, there's a story, I think this is Sports Illustrated. Yeah, Sports Illustrated. That Tom Brady shops at Target.
Do you believe that?
He's worth $250 million. His wife's worth another $200 million, $300 million. Do you believe he shops at Target? You know, I kind of do.
You can see walking into Target and running into Tom Brady.
I kind of think that people who are in that celebrity bubble probably like stepping out of it and brushing shoulders with real people. I think this is sort of like the People magazine. Stars are like everybody else. Celebrities are like everybody else. They do go to Target. I think Tom Brady's being legit when he says this.
I can't imagine Tom Brady setting foot in a Target. Like, I live right by a Target.
Yeah.
I go in there a lot because they have great deals on everything. I can't imagine running into Tom Brady there. You really think Tom Brady, I mean, he has people to do that, doesn't he?
Yeah, I know, but sometimes it's, I think celebrities and, you know.
And by the way, he also has Amazon Prime.
We know a few celebrities, and I know that it can be isolating to be a celebrity. You know, it's just him, Giselle, the kids, and his trainer, basically living in a bubble.
Yeah, why wouldn't you send the trainer to Target?
No, you would go to Target yourself. I want to get out of the house. That's what I do. I that's why I want to get back to the studio. I want to get out of the house. I'm sure Tom Brady wants to get out of the house. And the other thing he says is that when he goes to Target or anywhere else public, that he tries to over-deliver with fans. In other words, autographs, pictures, smiles, none of that, you annoy me, get out of here, I'll sign this, but then leave me alone. He says he tries to over-deliver with fans and give them a great experience. Do you believe that?
I do. Tom Brady strikes me as the type of guy who would be nice to everyone. I mean, what's he got to complain about? He's married to a supermodel. He's got a great life. He's won, what, 8 Super Bowls or something? I mean, I absolutely can see him being great to everybody.
Yeah, me too. Me too. And it's nice when celebrities are. It's nice when famous people are really cool and really nice. But there are limits, right? Like, for example, your friend James Worthy. I'll throw out a story.
Okay.
Your friend James Worthy, who you golf with all the time.
Yeah.
I saw him at the AMC theaters in Santa Monica one time. And I was leaving my theater, and he was leaving whatever theater he was in. And he was absolutely mobbed, completely mobbed. Autographs, pictures, everything. Because when you see James Worthy, that's James Worthy.
Right. So Hall of Famer James Worthy.
And sometimes I think, you know, you need a bubble to some degree, but I think you do need to step out. Even James Worthy goes to the movies, right? Does what everybody else does.
But he's so good with people that, and you know, by the way, Michael says Magic Johnson is exactly the same way.
Right.
That Magic is out among people all the time, and he's great to everybody. Now, Kareem is more reticent. You know, Kareem likes his privacy.
Yep.
He's better than he was years ago. I mean, he's more comfortable in public now than he used to be. But James and Magic have been great at it since they were players.
Now, I always try to over-deliver when I meet fans.
In what way?
Pictures. If somebody wants a picture, if somebody wants an autograph, if somebody wants to have a conversation, all those things, I'll just do it. Like, for example, a couple weeks ago, somebody won the Mason Backyard Barbecue Package.
Mm-hmm.
I went to Compton and delivered it myself. I like brushing shoulders with, like, I mean, not that I'm not a regular. I'm a regular person, and I'm not a big star. I don't want to make it sound like that. But I do like going out and meeting the people that listen every day.
It seems I meet more fans than you because I'm at the Laker games all the time, so I hear from a lot of people.
Right.
Most of the time, people are super nice.
I agree.
Like, every once in a while, you get a guy like Flamingo. You know, the guy who just tweeted in.
Yes,
but
the guy who just doesn't get it.
Right. By the way, Beto Duran has weighed in on this controversy.
Oh, good.
At LA Ireland, viva mi amigo Juan Ireland, mucho Mexicano.
Yeah.
There you go.
Totally, totally not right, but okay.
Yeah. And probably mispronounced.
Yeah.
probably.
But here's Kevin Reese just texting me, I ran into Montrezl Harrell at Target one day. I could see Montrezl Harrell going to Target.
Did he tell him if he's going to opt in or opt out?
No, I don't believe he did. But most of the time, people get the show and they're friendly. So it's not that hard to be friendly back.
Yeah, I agree. It's much easier to be nice than it is to be an ass.
Yeah.
it's so much easier to be nice. Like, why aren't people nice? Like, there are celebrities, you hear from people all the time, don't meet your heroes. You know, a lot of times, I don't think I've ever had I'll tell you who was a jackass, and he's famously a jackass, was Chevy Chase.
I've heard that from 10 different people.
Chevy Chase did the Tom Snyder Show when I was doing the Tom Snyder Show, and I'm telling you, he had just been on Politically Incorrect with Stephen Bochco, was one of the panelists, and he came out.
The late, great Stephen Bochco.
Just complaining about Bochco being overrated, and why is he on the same panel as Stephen Bochco, and I'm like, dude, You are lucky because you haven't been Chevy Chase for 10 years.
Yeah, apparently, like, there's stories when he worked on that show Community that he was that way to everybody on Community.
Christopher, another late actor, Christopher Penn, Sean Penn's brother. Mm-hmm. Right? That's right. Yeah, Christopher Penn came on the Snyder Show and started swearing. And I kept saying to him, we are live, man. We are live right now. And I'm sure all the affiliates were, like, freaking out because Chris Penn goes on a swearing streak.
Right.
And finally, I go to break, and I said, all right, that's it for you. We're done with you, Chris Penn. And he took his he brought a 12-pack of beer, took it, and left. And that was the end of the Chris Penn interview. But I'm like, dude, it's so much easier to be normal and nice and a regular person instead of doing what you're doing.
Yeah, I heard where – I'm trying to remember where I heard. I think it was on NFL Network. I heard an interview with Justin Herbert, the Chargers quarterback.
Yeah.
That dude totally seems to get it.
Cool.
Yeah, like he seems like he's a face of the franchise guy for them. So I think they've got somebody there they can build around.
I want to give a shout-out to Jimmy Fingers, who's a weed delivery guy who listens to the show every day.
Really? And his actual name is Jimmy Fingers.
Jimmy Fingers. Yes. All right, coming up next, we're going to tackle a topic that's really interesting and really, it's called the metaverse. The metaverse. This is a Mark Zuckerberg creation. The metaverse is coming up next. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, so the Dodgers are 61-41. They lost to the Giants last night on a Cody Bellinger throwing error in the eighth inning. Tonight, it's Walker Buehler on the mound up in San Francisco, and the lineup is out. And, John, I do not understand the infatuation with Billy McKinney, who I think has looked completely overmatched at the plate.
Right, but what else can they do?
They can put Bellinger in right, Albert Pujols at first, and that solves your problem. Put Albert Pujols. I know they're facing a right-hander, but I just don't get Billy McKinney. Give me Zach McKinstry. I like McKinstry better. McKinney is batting eighth. He was dumped by the Mets after batting .220. Now he's 3-for-15 with us. He's left-handed, so I guess that's why he's out there against a right-hander. But I don't understand Billy McKinney being in the lineup. That's just my opinion. I don't think we're not going to hear a home run call for Billy McKinney. I hope he proves me wrong.
Oh, I hope he hits one now.
I hope he proves
me
wrong.
Come on, McKinney.
I'll say it on tape. There will be no home run call for Billy McKinney.
What's that game they play on Sedano, LZ, and Cap called? Guess the guy who's going to hit the home run. I'll take Billy Dash or Cash. I'll take Billy McKinney in the third.
There you go. Billy McKinney in the third, says John Ireland. That is just not happening.
Come on, Billy.
All right. So, John, Mark Zuckerberg has cooked this idea up. And, you know, you're on Facebook. You don't use it a lot, but you're on Facebook, right?
I very rarely, but I check on it every once in a while.
So Mark Zuckerberg has created or is trying to create something called the metaverse, okay? In other words, what he wants to do is make Facebook the hub for everything, for what you watch on TV, for what you listen to on the radio, for the podcasts you listen to. And on top of that, he wants to use augmented reality and virtual reality as part of that, too. The idea is you will never have to leave Facebook. You will get everything you need from Facebook, and you don't need any other source. Do you believe that this is possible, that Facebook will literally eat up the world and encompass everything that we do and watch?
Well, he calls this the metaverse, and I read a whole article about it. I sent the article to you.
Yeah.
I still don't understand what the metaverse is. Like, the way he was explaining it is, I could be sitting at Starbucks, and you and I could be working on the show, and I could be working off of some documents, and literally, I could open the documents virtually. Like, you wouldn't have to send me a file.
Right.
I could say, hey, show me the document I was working on back at my house. And, I mean, it's so beyond what I think most people understand.
Well, have you ever had the Oculus goggles on?
Once. It was a little much for me, but I get why everybody likes them.
I think it's freaky. I think it's freaky. I think, and I don't know if they do this or not, but I would love to watch a game with the Oculus goggles. Do they do games that go to the 3D?
I think so. Yeah, I think sometimes they do.
I think the NBA does it more. I don't know if they do it in baseball, but I have seen it in the NBA.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. I think that 3D thing, and John, you 3D's flamed out, 3D flamed out in the movies. I think 3D is the way of the future in terms of the world we live in.
I'm not sure. Like, do you think people are going to be using 3D at their house? Like, people are going to be sitting around in glasses at their house?
Yeah, wouldn't you rather watch a game from the sidelines?
I wouldn't want to watch a game with glasses on, virtual reality glasses on.
But do you want to sit in the 300s, or do you want to sit sidelines? Because the Oculus goggles will let you watch the game and be on the sidelines, even though you could never afford to do that.
Right. Why can't I watch the game like I watch it now?
But this will be like you're on the sidelines.
Right. I guess it's enough for me to watch the game the way games are broadcast now. I don't need to feel like I'm on the sidelines. Maybe I'm a little biased because I go to the games, but
right.
But I don't quite get it. You know, like
but you understand that they want Facebook to be where you get your podcast.
Yeah, I don't necessarily think it'll work. Do you think it will?
Facebook is pretty damn efficient. They know what they're friggin' doing over there. I don't like that guy.
You don't like Mark Zuckerberg?
I don't. Especially
Why, you
not
think
after
he has too much power.
No, especially not after seeing The Social Network. He seems just like a friend, a bad guy.
Well, he's been very successful. That's pretty indisputable.
Yeah, but, I mean, a lot of asses are really successful.
I don't
agree with that? I think there's a huge correlation between really successful people and being jerks. A lot of jerks become very successful.
Well, yeah, if you become, like... What's Mark Zuckerberg have, like $100 billion?
Correct.
You know, yeah, probably has something to do with it.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of jerks rise to great power. That is so true.
Yeah, that is
that
true.
That is so true. God, stumbled onto something really true. All right.
This is going to be Jesse Lopez's one chance at Game of Games, of hosting Game of Games.
Yes.
Mace, how do you think he'll do?
I've got money on... No, I think he's going to be the Billy McKinney of the show.
No, I disagree. I think, because I've worked for... Jesse produces the Laker games or runs support for the Laker games. So he's done both. I actually think he's going to meet this particular challenge. We'll see which one of us is right.
I would be stunned if he meets the challenge.
Prepare yourself to be stunned, Mace. I got this.
Mace in Ireland, 710 ESPN. It is Game of Games time, and today, Jesse, who is filling in for Lindsay, and he's been doing a good job other than Radio Tinder. Jesse has got today's game. Jesse, describe the game.
Yes, okay. So before I get into the game, I just want to pass along this text that I got from our good friend Beto.
Okay.
Mexican doubts the Mexican. Ireland supports. All right, so let's move on. All right, so my game is an audio game. I have some audio clips here, and it has to do with...
Wow!
Yes, and it has to do with brands. So, for example, if I were to tell you... If I were to show you a picture of an apple, obviously you would think of Apple. If I show you a picture of, like, that, a
so
curved...
So these are, like, jingles or, yes. or some... Okay.
Yeah, so you recognize a brand visually, but now can you recognize a brand from the sounds?
Okay, let me ask you a question. This has to be just me against Mason, right? Because Jesse can see what you're doing.
No, Jorge has no idea what I'm playing.
Okay.
I have all the audio cuts. I loaded up myself. He has no idea what I'm playing. They're not labeled anything. I have the cheat sheet right behind me, and he cannot see.
Now, look at all that work, Mace.
Yeah.
I told you I got this.
You are no Billy McKinney.
And he came up with an un-Googleable game like we always talk about. Mm-hmm. Good for you, Jesse.
I'm finishing strong.
All right, what do you got?
All right, so here is audio number one.
Your name is your buzzer, right?
Yes, your name is your buzzer. Sorry about that. Yes, right, here is number one.
Jorge.
Jorge.
McDonald's.
That is correct.
Yeah.
It is McDonald's.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, so, you know, if you hear it really closely...
Yep. Very good.
All right. Jorge one, John zero, Mason zero. Here is the next audio.
To play it again.
This one is a little harder.
I don't know that one.
Any guesses? Mason.
Microsoft.
No.
I don't know. I don't even have a guess.
All right. So this one is Nokia.
Nokia.
That was a deep pull there.
Kind of old. Like that old ring, their old obnoxious ring. Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right, so here is the next one. This one's a little bit longer.
Okay.
Jorge,
what do you got?
Is it Marvel?
Yes!
Oh, whoa. I was going to say, it sounds like a superhero movie.
Yep, it's Marvel.
Oh, so, damn. Wow, Jorge's kicking our butts.
Yeah.
All right, so next audio clip. All right, this one's was kind of low. I'm going to play it one more time.
Okay.
Mason. That's Apple.
No, it is not Apple.
Play one more time.
All right, one more time.
Jorge,
what do you got?
That's Netflix.
Oh, he got it.
Netflix. Jorge 3, Mason, and I are nothing.
Oh, man.
This is a bloodbath.
And Greg's not even here, so he's not. There's no way him to cheat.
Settle down.
All right, here's the next audio clip for you guys. That one's a little tough, too.
Oh, I know that. I've heard
that. But yeah. Here, I'm going to play it one more time.
Okay.
Mason. AT&T.
No, not AT&T.
I don't know.
I'll give you guys a hint. It is a streaming service, so it is a place to watch videos. Go for it. Ireland.
Hulu?
No.
Mason.
You already guessed.
Oh, I already guessed, yeah.
All right. Jorge?
No, I don't know.
Okay. All right, that one was Amazon Prime.
Oh,
I don't want Prime.
John, how could you not get that?
Well, I don't watch Amazon Prime. I use Amazon Prime. All right, how many more you got?
No, I have 11 of them, so I have a lot.
Okay, good. Keep going.
All right, so next one. This is a little bit of a longer one, too.
John. This is, it's the movies. It is, is it Paramount?
Oh, no.
Mason. Warner Brothers.
Ding, there it is. Oh, Warner Brothers. Mason's on the board.
Okay, 3-1, and I'm still
You're on the right track, though.
Yeah, I knew it was at the beginning of a movie.
All right, here's another one. Here's a short one.
Jorge. That's Intel.
That is Intel.
Yeah. Wow.
4-1 to nothing.
Yeah.
All right, keep going.
Here's another one. It's a little bit longer. This one's a deep pull as well.
This is another movie company.
Yep.
Mason.
Ireland.
Oh, I heard Mason first.
That is Paramount.
No.
Ireland. I think it's TriStar.
Yes, it's TriStar.
Wow. TriStar.
All right. So Jorge
has 4. John has 1, and Mason has 1.
Okay, how many are left?
Boy,
we have 3 left.
All right, Mace, we're up against it.
Yeah, we got it. We got a score here.
All right, here we go. Here is number 9.
Jorge, that's got to be Windows.
It is indeed Windows.
Wow!
Indeed,
this
Windows.
Jorge, why are you so good at this?
I don't know, man.
All right, here's. I mean, it's 5-1. I have two more.
Keep going.
Do the last two for fun.
All right, cool. All right, this is another longer one here.
Jorge.
Oh, Jorge.
That's DreamWorks.
Yes, it's DreamWorks.
Oh, my
what
God.
What the hell is happening?
Yikes.
This is as big of a beatdown as anyone has ever handed us.
Oh, DreamWorks doesn't even exist anymore.
It does.
DreamWorks does, doesn't it?
Animation.
Yeah.
DreamWorks animation.
Oh, yeah, DreamWorks animation. You're right. Yeah.
All right. This last one is I made it the tiebreaker because it's really hard. It's a really
well, apparently
really
not
deep
for Jorge. Yeah.
Nah, if Jorge gets this one, then you know, by all means, this was a terrible game because I gotta choose something better. But this one I thought was really hard because even in me listening to it, I couldn't figure it out. So
okay.
Here it is.
Mason. How about Pixar?
No, but I will say you are in the right.
Yeah.
Realm.
Yeah, it's.
I know this is Jorge.
It's
AMC Theaters, Golden.
No.
Oh, play it again. Play it again.
Right, here's one more time.
Oh, I thought this was AMC Theaters. Is it Disney?
It is Disney.
Oh,
it's not like the. It's not the theatrical Disney. It's a specific, like. It's Disney DVD. That's what it is. Okay. So that's what I didn't
I'm taking credit for it.
No, okay. You should get that for Disney. That's close enough.
Jorge wins 6-2-1.
Wow, that's an impressive
I'm standing.
That's worth two, by the way.
Man, I thought I made these
hard. All right, so Mace, what's the standings with that's worth two for Jorge?
Ireland 7, Jorge 5, Mason 4, Lindsay 4. So I think we're all alive, right? We got a couple more days.
Yeah, and Mace, it's you tomorrow and it's me Friday.
What, is Lindsay not going to come back and do a game?
Maybe. Yeah, we'll make her do it if she may, if she
yeah,
has
let's
one.
Make her
if,
do it. Yeah.
If not, I'll have one on standby.
All right, there you have it. Right, good so good wait. Game. I vote thumbs up on that. You are right. No Billy McKinney.
Okay. Hmm. So Jorge is sitting out the lie because he's got to connect with the remote.
Okay, so okay. Lie of the day. Lie
so
of,
it's Jesse, one, it's me and you.
One of the stories I told today is completely fabricated.
All right. I thought I had it. But you've done a very good job of misdirection. Jesse, do you have a guess?
I have some. I think I have
pick
one.
One and guess it.
Okay. I think it's specifically getting that Starbucks drink.
I also have that written down. I think there may be a lie in there somewhere. The Vente Caramel.
Yeah, I think it's getting the Starbucks drink before working with
Lampy.
Okay,
so I'm glad
that's
you
specifically
picked
that,
because that was my second one. Yeah, I don't know if he goes to see Wendy at Starbucks. I thought that was all a load of crap. But I think you went one too many times to the origin board. I think straight-laced makes sense. The Kate Winslet tight button-up
corset,
thing.
Yeah.
The chairman of the board thing seems made up to me. What you said, it involved a chair and a board and stuff out of a wall. It just sounds like you're messing with us. So I'm fairly convinced that between the two of us, we've got it. That either the caramel, crunch, frappe, vente, Wendy at Starbucks,
yep.
There's a lie in there, or chairman of the board is a lie. Did either one of us get it?
Yes.
Ooh.
This is the first time in a while. It is the Starbucks order. I never did order that drink. I would never do that to Wendy, who's a real person at Starbucks who I see every day. I would never ask for a complicated drink like that. Now, John, as for your guess, I'm going to read this whole thing so maybe I read it wrong. In the late 1700s, many houses consisted of a large room with only one chair. Commonly a long, wide board folded down from the wall and was used for dining. The head of the household always sat in the chair while everyone else ate sitting
on
the floor.
Wait a minute.
What?
Wait a minute. Look at the heading. I just typed in chairman of the board origin and that all that stuff came up that you're reading?
Yes. Correct.
Okay, read the headline on that.
Oh, I didn't Google. All I have is the story that I copied.
All right. Wacky whoppers about the origins of popular 18th century phrases. So you fell for the whopper. So the one that you wrote is the fake one. Here are the facts.
Okay.
No, the tables didn't fold down from the wall, and and a table the right height for someone seated in a chair would leave the underlings on the floor blindly groping over their heads for food. A board has meant a table used for meals since the 1200s. By the 1500s, it also meant a table at which a council is held, and hence a group of people meeting at a council table, and by extension, those charged with supervising. Since the 1600s, chairman has meant the one who occupies a chair of authority, specifically the person who presides over the meeting. So we both actually sniffed you out.
You did. That was an inadvertent lie.
Right.
An inadvertent lie. Yeah, but, the Starbucks drink is completely made up. I would never put a barista through that.
A couple of things. Number one, there's been a game canceled tonight.
Yeah.
The Nationals have 12 positive COVID tests. And they had a game tonight, so it's wiped out the game. So hopefully that's not something that is going to, wipe out a series or affect the pennant race, but it's certainly possible. 12 guys have tested positive.
Who is it, Washington and Philly?
Yeah. But
the
reason that the game has been canceled is because the Nationals have so many people in it. And then we mentioned, did you give the Dodgers lineup?
Yeah, I gave the Dodgers lineup because we talked about Billy McKinney,
right,
who I don't really get, is in the lineup in the eighth hole, batting eighth and in left field.
And then the last thing I wanted to get in was, I don't know if you saw Bryan Cranston's note, but apparently
I did, yeah.
Bob Odenkirk, the star of Better Call Saul, is in the hospital in New Mexico.
Yep.
He had a pretty serious collapse on the set of Better Call Saul. And Brian is asking everybody to send good thoughts to Bob Odenkirk. That's one of our favorite shows. I think Odenkirk was on your podcast once upon a time,
wasn't he? Odenkirk did my podcast. Bryan Cranston did my podcast. Yeah, Odenkirk is a fantastic guy. I did a Q&A with him a couple of years ago, too. Fantastic guy. Yeah, it sounds like whatever happened may be more serious than we originally thought.
So we're sending all of our luck and good thoughts to Saul Goodman, Bob Odenkirk from Better Call Saul, who's in the hospital.
Yeah, absolutely. So. All right, there you got it. There's your Mason in Ireland. We're back tomorrow at 12:55 sharp. Coming up next for you, Cap and Clinton Yates are out at Rams training camp at UC Irvine. They're going to do the SLK show from there. They'll talk to Sean McVay. They will talk to Aaron Donald. They will talk to Matthew Stafford. Big afternoon, so make sure you stick with us. Again, we're back tomorrow, 12:55 sharp. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.